Now, if you open up to the book of Matthew, I felt slightly embarrassed this morning. I don't know if I actually needed to, but during the prayer meeting, I was jotting down some scriptures for my talk that I'd started my talk at about 7 o'clock this morning in my van, and one of the phone calls that interrupted me was Sophie, and I said, and it was a nice interruption, of course, and I said, it's just the same as being at home. The phone doesn't stop ringing. You don't get away from people, and so there were phone calls before then, and there were phone calls after that as well, and so my talk that I started at 7 o'clock this morning, I was still doing it at 9:30 on my knees while we were praying. Anyway, and Mark and Angela spotted me. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, we see here in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men." Now, let your light so shine before men. If you noticed on the camp form that you should have filled out if you haven't done it yet, that's the theme of our camp. Let your light so shine before men. Now, just listening to Sue's testimony, listening to Andy's testimony. Andy said to that person, "Are you going to get in the way of God in doing this?" or something like that. Sue talking in her testimony. Yes, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We all know we're all Spirit-filled. But we can talk about things in our lives, can't we, that the Lord has actually done. We rejoice in the fact that God is working in our lives. Now then, when he says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So there are qualities, there are characteristics that we will display in our lives. And so just in that same chapter, but in verse 3, let's read a few. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That word blessed, it comes from the Greek word makarios, and it means the same as happy. So he's saying, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we see almost a contradiction there. Those people that are hungering and thirsting, you're actually going to be happy. And it's a contradiction. We can be happy in this natural life, but we can be miserable spiritually. We can be miserable in this natural life, but if we're spirit-filled, we can know that salvation is ours. We can know that despite the hard times we might be having, whether it be financial, whether it be relationship, whether it be whatever it might be, despite the hard times, we're going to be happy because the Lord is going to provide. "Blessed are the merciful," in verse 7, "for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Now, some of those things that people will say about us, some of the ways people exclude us, some of the ways people speak to us, in the natural sense, they don't actually make us happy. But because we've got something inside of us, and that something is the Holy Ghost, of course, but because we're convicted by the Holy Ghost, we're a happy group of people. We learn to put up with these things. And people see something different about us, as they saw something different about Sean in hospital, as they saw something different about Sue in hospital, that there was a confidence there. There was an expectation. And it's this light, it's this confidence that we want to shine before men. Have a look in the book of John in chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And that is something that we always need to remember. It's too easy for us to look at our natural surroundings, what we have or what we don't have, or what we want to get. It's too easy for us to do that and to be consumed by that. But he says here, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It doesn't matter what we do or we don't have. It doesn't matter what people say about us or they don't say about us. But what matters is that we've got this light inside of us. But more importantly, not only is it there, but we're aware of it. Because we see sometimes people, sometimes in our fellowship, that are spirit-filled, they're part of our fellowship because they're spirit-filled, but they're not actually aware of what the Lord has done. Now, I think probably we can all put up our hands and say from time to time we might lapse into that, couldn't we? Or is it just me? But we can all be like that. But the Lord wants us to be very much aware of what has happened to us and the change that has taken place within us. And he said in his testimony, it's not about the body being saved, it's about the soul being saved. That's right. That's the restoration inside of us that we should be grateful for and that we should be radiating, if you like. We should let that knowledge shine. Still in the book of John, but chapter 15, Jesus speaking again with his disciples, and he says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." He says you've got to abide in me. And back, still in the book of John, but in chapter 4, you don't need to turn there. But Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." There's another perspective altogether from this natural life. And Jesus said, "I want you to abide in me, and if you abide in me, you're going to bring forth fruit. If you don't abide in me, you know, you're spirit-filled, but you don't walk in me, you're going to be cut off." I mean, it is such a simple principle, isn't it? It is a powerful principle. And the Lord wants us to grab hold of this and say, "Yes, that's me. You know, I'm a branch now, I can see myself there, and I'm going to make sure I bring forth the fruit." That's what his intention is. You can see on some vines, but actually you can see it. It's perhaps more significant on some fruit trees. And think of a peach or a stone fruit tree, and they are particularly prevalent. If you have a stone fruit tree and it might be 4 or 5 years old, it's been pruned each year, particularly for years 4 and 5, it's been pruned in a way that it will, you know, make a vase shape and be nice and spreading and bring be a shape that will produce fruit. It'll get even amount of sunlight and so on. But sometimes you will see from a branch that is maybe 3 years old, you'll see a shoot arise out of it. It'll be lower down, but the shoot will have so much vigor, it will just... It'll be dominant over all the other branches, and in 1 year it will grow as much and perhaps be taller than branches that are 3 or 4 years old. And it's called a water shoot. That's the term that's given. And do you know what? Water shoots don't produce fruit. They look good. Well, they look vigorous. They are vigorous. In fact, they detract from the rest of the tree because they take energy from it, but they don't produce any fruit. And the Lord says, if you abide in me, You know, if you pray in the Spirit, if you read my word, if you control your bad temper and so on and so on, if you read my word, if you pray in the Spirit, if you speak about Jesus Christ, if you're grateful to Jesus Christ, you're abiding in me. But, you know, sometimes people will do the opposite from just, oh, I can't care about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They sometimes develop an attitude where they think that they're so much better than all the rest of us, and we're not. We're only here because of the grace of God, and all the people said. And we're grateful that we're here. We're grateful that we're brothers and sisters together. We love being in fellowship. We have a care for each other. We don't want to see anybody fall, do we? We display the love of God to one another, and hopefully we display the love of God to people outside as well. Because Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. He also encourages us in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. And so it's encouraging. We are told time and time again, you ask anything according to my will, I hear your prayer. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now here, Paul is writing to the Spirit-filled, so he's writing directly to us. In chapter 15, and the Corinthian church, the fellowship in Corinth, they are a very good example to us. In the first letter that Paul wrote, he was saying, you know, you guys need to get yourselves organized. Will you stop doing that? Will you stop doing that? Will you make sure you do this? And what about, you know, he was correcting them. He was chastising them in some ways. And in chapter 15, he's sort of remonstrating with them because, well, we read here, chapter 15 and verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so there were Spirit-filled people saying, well, there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, what are you and I doing here? Hey, what a waste of time. We could be down the beach. He says in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, that's for sure. What have I been doing for the last 38 years? What's Andy been doing since the 10th of May in 1985? I didn't realise you were Spirit-filled on the 10th of May. I also was Spirit-filled on the 10th of May in 1981. But what have I been doing if there's no resurrection? But, you know, well, we just read here in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. This is the light that we want to be shining, not misunderstanding once we're Spirit-filled and saying, oh, well, there's no resurrection. What sort of future is that? There's no future in that. But we're convicted, aren't we? There is a resurrection. That's what we're convicted of. And that's the light to shine to people, to each other. In verse 51, we read, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. So I wonder how many others in this world know that? How many others in this world know that there's going to be a resurrection? Well, there are many, many that don't. There are many, many that we talk to that still don't want to know. Oh, grow up, will you? Get out of here. You're a loser or whatever. But never mind. We've got this, because we've got this conviction, and by the way, talking about conviction, he says in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Our steadfastness in the face of opposition needs to be apparent. It needs to be there. And in the face of opposition, our steadfastness with each other needs to be apparent as well. Because not everybody is having a good day in the Lord. Sometimes we get doubtful. Sometimes we get discouraged. But letting our light shine, it's important for saints. It's important for the unsaved. Because if we can't see, how are they going to see? And we've got the Holy Spirit within. If they're going to get into the kingdom of God, then it's going to be only God's people that's going to show them how to get in. Somebody had to show us how to get in, didn't they? All right, I'll finish then in the book of Galatians in chapter 5. Now, Paul is writing to, again, us, the Spirit-filled, and he says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Now, that happens from time to time. I mean, you want to keep those things to a minimum. But it was obviously happening over there in the fellowship in Galatia. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What sort of light do you imagine that people, saints, would have been showing to one another when they're biting and devouring? It's not God's light, that's for sure. It's just the carnal man being allowed to rise up. And so we want to avoid these things. And when they do happen, we want to correct them as soon as is possible. And we read in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." The joy, or the love, is the agape of God. That's the love of God, you know, the desire to see one another and to see others saved. The joy, it means to cause, the cause of gladness or pleasure. The peace, the freedom from or the cessation of conflict. The long-suffering is bearing provocation patiently. The gentleness is moderate kindness and a mildness. It's not weakness. Goodness is to be virtuous, to have an excellence, and also to have a kindness. A faith, it's to exhibit a trust and a loyalty and a confidence. Meekness is to be submissive and gentle. Temperance means to be, or to have, a moderation and to have a self-restraint. The Lord is telling us that they are the fruit of the Spirit, that if you're going to abide in Jesus Christ, abide in the vine, not going to be a water shoot and go off at a tangent and not produce any fruit, oh, you look good, but you're not actually doing anything. But if you're going to abide in the vine, then your light is going to shine. And what's going to shine? It's all these qualities. It's compassion for the unsaved. And so here's the theme for camp. Let your light so shine before men. And the people that I've asked to bring talks at our camp, I've said, this is the camp theme. Let's bring out scriptures on this. Let's encourage one another that we do, in fact, let our light shine before each other and before others as well. And all the people said, okay, well, we'll leave the scriptures there.